So I also wanted to introduce today's speaker. Today's preacher speaker is Reverend Van Horn. She's a former mentor of mine, and we're so blessed to be able to have her because for the last 20 years, she has been every Sunday at First Presbyterian Church of Bellevue, and she just retired and hopefully is going to be launching into being at our church as often as we can have her. So I bless the Lord for that, and I'm thankful to have her today. So God is good.
Well, as Gwen said, I have walked along the path of life with Gwen and Brian, so it's a real privilege to be here to share this time with you today. As we come to the Lord's Word in Scripture, I want to invite you, as I tell the story, share the Scripture with you, that you listen with the ears of your heart. I want you to listen to what Jesus is saying. Look at what Jesus is doing. Try to get a sense for what it would be surrounding the disciples who are on the road to Emmaus during this time. Put yourself in the story. Use your imagination. And if it's easier for you to do that, to close your eyes as I'm reading, whatever will help you hear the Scripture for yourself. This is a narrative. It's God's story to us, and it calls us to interact with it. So let's begin as we approach God's word. This is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. This is God's word to us. Hear the story. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village called Emmaus. It was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked about those things, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. Jesus asked them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" And they stood still and their faces were sad. One of them was named Cleopas, and he said to Jesus, "Are you the only person visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know? Don't you know about the things that have happened there in the last few days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet. He was powerful in what he said and did in the sight of God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed Jesus over to be sentenced to death. They nailed him to a cross. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to set Israel free. Also, it's the third day since all this happened. You know, some of our women amazed us too. Early this morning, they went to the tomb, but they didn't find his body. So they came and told us what they had seen. They saw angels who said Jesus was alive. Then some of our friends went to the tomb. They saw it was empty, just as the women had said. They didn't see Jesus' body there. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are. How long it takes you to believe all that the prophets said. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and then receive his glory?" Jesus explained to them what was said about himself in all the scriptures. He began with Moses and all the prophets. Finally, they approached the village where they were going, and Jesus kept walking as if he were going farther, but they tried hard to keep him from leaving. They said, "Stay with us. It is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. He joined them at the table, and then he took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it and began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but then he disappeared from their sight. And they said to each other, "He explained to us what the scriptures meant. Weren't we excited as he talked with us on the road?" And they got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 disciples and those with them. They were all gathered together. They were saying, "It's true. The Lord has risen. He has appeared to Simon." Then the two of them told what had happened to them on the way. They told how they had recognized Jesus when he broke the bread. Loving God, we want to pause for just a moment as that scripture, as that story resounds in our minds and in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to understand what you are saying to us this day. Lord, would you meet us here? Would you help us to have our eyes opened as well as our ears sensitive to what you are going to say to us? We are grateful, Lord, that you lived, that you live still. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's quite a story. It's a long scripture, but it's needed to tell the full story. In the story of the walk to Emmaus, Cleopas and the other disciple were lost. They were on the right road, and they knew the way home. But they had no idea what to make of Jesus' death or even the women's testimony that he lived. Geographically, they know where they are, but they had to find their spiritual compass, and Jesus showed up. Jesus came alongside them. "What's this you're talking about?" And through their despair, it tells us they're sad. They told him their whole story. And when they finished, Jesus explained to them from the Old Testament scriptures. He told them the significance of what had happened to Jesus. And when we listen to Jesus explain all that, think about it, the whole Old Testament he laid out for them on the walk, we realize that Jesus' appearance wasn't just coincidence. You know, there's so many things in life and in faith that we could say, well, that's just a coincidence. But I choose to believe a definition that I've heard of coincidence. It's a small miracle where God chooses to remain anonymous. Yes, I want to call this story a miracle. Think back to how distraught the disciples were. And then the story goes on to say that Cleopas and the other disciple invited Jesus to join them for dinner. And in the breaking of the bread, their eyes were opened and they recognized the risen Lord at that very moment. And their response was they ran all the way back to Jerusalem to tell the others what they had discovered. Jesus is risen. And that's where today's story from the scriptures ends, with Jesus' self-revelation and his followers' faithful response. But where I'd like to end is with what Paul Harvey calls the rest of the story. The story takes place on Easter Day, the first Easter Day. The disciples, the faith followers of Jesus, had their living hope all but snuffed out on that day. So the two disciples were on their way back home to Emmaus. Can you imagine their discouragement? How defeated they felt, how confused, demoralized, afraid. The events of Good Friday were fresh in their memories. Their entire world had come apart. The hopes of the Palm Sunday parade and the enthusiastic reception were dashed. Their dream for the present and the future was over. Their human hope was gone. And you know, human hope is a fragile thing. And when it withers, it's difficult to revive. Have you ever experienced such total hopelessness? When there seems to be no way out. What does this story tell us about living a life of faith in the spirit of Jesus' resurrection from the dead? To recognize him as the risen Christ. First, I think it tells us we can expect Jesus to meet us along the way in the course of everyday life. Let me share one of my moments, a recent moment of confusion and feelings of some hopelessness. As Gwen told you, I recently retired. And everyone would say to me, "Congratulations, how exciting, what are you going to do, where are you going to go?" And I found the more that I was asked, the more depressed I became. I have been connected to the church since the moment of my birth. Always involved some way as a volunteer, as a staff person, and then decided at 40 I was going to go to seminary, and I became a pastor. Last week, I was at the WIM conference in Whitworth, an annual week-long conference for pastors and their families. I hadn't even thought about going until one of the staff at the church said, "I'll drive, I'm going, why don't you go along?" And I knew that that was the right thing to do. It was uncomfortable. I was surprised. I like to be with people, I especially like to be on the Whitworth campus, but I felt despair and sadness, maybe even some hopelessness. Well, I wouldn't be using this as an illustration if I hadn't known that Jesus showed up last week. I had gone to the library because I wanted to do some preparation for this sermon. So the story was in my mind. And after I was finished, I walked out the door. And as I walked out the door, there was a young man who came along. And he said hello with a big smile. And asked if I was at the conference, and I told him, yes. He asked what church I was from, and I said that I had just retired. And he said, "Congratulations." And you know what I heard was God say, "Dana, well done." And I knew in that moment that I had looked in the eyes of the risen Jesus. That's what he said. And then he walked on. Looking for the presence of Jesus Christ in the faces of those around you gives you maybe those coincident moments. Mine, I know, was God's presence at that time. It was what I was ready to hear, and it gave me encouragement loud and clear. To live a life of faith in the spirit of the resurrection is to listen for the voice of God and trust the Holy Spirit to guide us, giving up the need to control and to call the shots ourselves, myself. Oh, it's so hard, isn't it? We want to be in charge. But you know, I've lived long enough and that I've come to learn that it doesn't mean to stop planning, to stop thinking, to stop using the brain that God created us with, to be responsible. No, it means realizing that Jesus is present all the time. And there are resources there for us to use and to see. Yes, we love to have control of our lives, so we make detailed plans. But you don't have to live very long before we realize there is the life you planned, and then there's what comes next. Jesus' disciples had plans, and they had hope for their future. And we have hopes, and we have dreams as well. Hope, it's a wonderful word. It can transform ordinary people into Emmaus disciples, like each of us. So I'm suggesting that the word for today is expectancy. Look expectantly for the person or event that brings the hope, the life, the love of the risen Christ. That's the presence that we need. That's what we look for in our lives. So here are some questions for you to ponder. Who has been that hope-filled presence for you? To whom have you been the risen Lord, bringing compassion and transforming hope to ordinary people? Now, I wonder if you might be thinking, well, that's all well and good for the Jesus time on earth. You know, for the disciples who knew Jesus, who walked with him, who ate with him, who really knew him and he knew them. Not so much for today. Yes, Jesus knew those disciples. And if you are like me, it helps to remind myself that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit gave us life now and forever. And the scriptures affirm that. Think of Psalm 139 that says, "The Lord knew us before we took our first breath." Knows us completely inside and out, even the days that are going to be given to us before one of them as yet existed. God knows our thoughts before we speak. We don't even have to say them aloud. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He wants to be in relationship with us, who he calls children of God. That God we can trust to meet us. And he will meet us at our deepest needs. He knows who and what to bring into our lives so those needs will be met to give us hope. As a child, I learned three big words in Sunday school. God is omnipresent, present in all places at all times. God is omnipotent, all-powerful, mighty. God is omniscient, all-knowing, the source of all knowledge. I loved saying those three words when I was about this high. I had childlike faith. And then went to the Lord to have help. And we still need that childlike faith. To place our hope in that becomes our prayer. The disciples were still learning about Jesus. And we are still learning about the God who loves us. We are still growing in our understanding of who Jesus is and will be with until that heavenly day when we see clearly face to face. That's grace. It's hope. It's abundant, unearned. My cup is overflowing. God is faithful. And we each receive God's invitation to share our lives, every detail, every worry, all the joys and sorrows, known and unknown. Congratulations, that young man said to me. And in that moment, I knew Jesus was with me. When I looked, I recognized the risen Jesus had just spoken. I realized Jesus was with me all along. Now, the external circumstances have not changed. I'm still retired. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with my time. But my experience of those circumstances has changed. That's what it means in our lives when we are confronted with a risen Christ. Friends, God is present in the fullness of life. Its joys and its sorrows, its laughter and its tears. In the turbulence of our lives and in the celebrations, God is present. That's the good news of the gospel. That is a living life of faith in the spirit of the resurrection. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, still walks among us, knows us, loves us. Jesus Christ sees our present path, and he knows what is needed. Comfort, encouragement, healing of past, forgiveness to forgive and to be forgiven. If you are on the Emmaus road, that road of doubt and disappointment, be encouraged by the people or events God will bring to you. In my experience, that bringing will be in the ordinary day, in expected, familiar ways. Maybe it's a phone call or a text from a friend, thinking of you, how's it going? Perhaps a note or a card might be a stranger's smile or a welcoming word. It could be the input and guidance of a therapist. For sure, it's in worship, in prayer, in the reading of the scriptures, and in communion. Be intentional as you look for the risen Lord. And know that we're surrounded by opportunities to experience Jesus. You know, Easter was not over at sundown on Easter Sunday. No. It stretches into the rest of our lives, and it boldly proclaims, because Jesus lived and Jesus died and Jesus rose again, that life will never be the same. All the rest of the story, our story, is an extension of the Easter truth. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. The Lord is risen, and he comes back to meet us on our road to Emmaus. My encounter with the risen Lord was very brief, 3 minutes max when I was at the conference, but its effect is permanent. In the stranger at the library, Jesus appeared out of nowhere, calmed my fears in the celebratory response. One word, and hope was restored. And I am reminded that God is faithful, past, present, and future. And God's promises can be trusted. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. That's the miracle of this story. Loving Lord, we pause for just a moment to let the truth of your word fill us into every corner of our hearts and minds. Lord, grow trust so that when we read, "Do not fear, for I am with you," we know the truth of that in our everyday lives. Lord, thank you for the promises we find in your word. Be with us now as we approach your table. Lord, it is in this way that you open the eyes of the disciples. We pray that today you will open our eyes as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.